All right. Hey, it's always fun to have kids in worship, so thanks for being here with us this morning, kids. And again, I already mentioned it, but my name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors in the system, and about once a month, I find my way over here to preach, and so this is the 1 week in the month that I'm going to be here, and I'm super glad to be here with you this morning. And I want to start with a scripture verse that's one of my favorites in the entire Bible, and if you have a Bible or you want to pull it up on your phone, you can go ahead and do that, or you can just listen. There was a day where there weren't multiple copies of the Bible. There weren't phones to just pull the scripture up on. And what we did is we would just listen to the word and let it sort of soak in us. And the scripture that I'm about to read, it is one of my very favorites in the Bible. In fact, if the gig is up for me, like you find me in a ditch somewhere and you go, this is probably the last thing he's going to hear, I would really appreciate this read over me because it's a powerful word. And it's Psalm 139. And David, after some time in his life, got to a place where he wrote something that he could write from experience. This wasn't just something he was saying, hey, I have some theological thoughts about this. It's by experience that he's starting to write about who God is. And it's why it's so powerful for me. He says this, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where could I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness says light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. What you have done is amazing. I've seen it with my own eyes. Your works, they're amazing. I know them. I've experienced them. I've been on the receiving side of them. And I praise you for all that you've done. I love that scripture. When I think about the series that we're in this summer, I think this one fits pretty good for here today. We've been in a series that we've been talking about being unfinished. And I think that's true for every single one of us in this room, that God's not done with us yet, that we're unfinished. And there's all kinds of stuff that we could point to. His work in a church, his work in our lives, his work in our children. It's something, even as we're standing up here with these children, saying we want to invest in these children because we know something starts in them, but we want to see it completed. We want to see God do an amazing work in our kids and in us and in our church here and in this greater community that's called Walker up here. We want that. We long for that. And the good news is this, that God said through the Apostle Paul that he who starts a good work in us, this is pretty cool. He who starts a good work in us, he's faithful to bring it to completion. It's like he's going to carry that work on. Something that started inside of us, he's going to keep working it out, keep doing that work until he brings it to a place where he's going, look what I just did. Look at the work I did in that person. They're not the same anymore. Look at the work I did in Walker. It's not the same anymore because of the church that's active, this one and other churches that are in this community. And the framing text that we've been using is Galatians chapter 5. And it talks about the primary things that God's trying to work into us. And it's this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now we've preached all of those words. And circle that next one, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the moves that we've been talking about is moving from one place to another, that God is working, he's finishing this stuff inside of us. And today the move is really a move from fear to faithfulness, from a place where we might be concerned about what's coming to a place that we're going, it's all good. I'm safe. God has this. I know your works. I've seen it. So many times I've seen what you do. I've experienced what you've done. And my life, it's secure in you. I want to camp out on that thing called fear for just a bit, because I think fear plays itself out in so many different areas of our lives. We see it all over the place. I think there are some things that are just not worth being afraid of. But there are some things, maybe, that we might say, this stuff is worth being afraid of. Like, I just heard, some of you just heard, the news is out there that North Korea just had an intercontinental ballistic missile that they tested. And apparently, it worked. It worked. That might be something to go, okay, that's worth being afraid of. And there's marketing strategies that's called fear-based marketing. And I was reading a story about a marketing strategy to get dogs vaccinated in Mexico. And this is some time back that they did this. But they said that you can paint your houses bright colors, because apparently that was spreading, that if you paint your houses bright enough, it'll keep the rats and the dogs away. And they said you can paint your houses bright colors, but it won't stop. In fact, you can't do anything to keep the rats from coming to get your children. I'm like, what? Like, wow, there's nothing we can do to keep the rats from carrying our children off. That's fear-based marketing. And they said, so therefore, get your dogs vaccinated against this plague that's out there. And speaking of plagues, it's like every 30 years that there's a pandemic that happens in our world. And if the math is right on that, we're due for one. In fact, we're overdue for one. And being in a global world that we're in, it could spread fast and go hard. And maybe that's worth worrying about. I think about people driving on the roads these days. And I look around, you see it, I see it. Let's not be these people. But you see people texting while they're driving. I'm like, what are you doing? And I just read recently of a girl that crashed into a cop car, and this is what she put. Oh my gosh, I just hit a cop while texting you. She's texting that to her friend. I'm like, there are so many things wrong with this, right? Like, you're texting, don't hit a cop, but you hit a cop, and then let's quick text, phone confiscated, busted. What do you think? Like, not smart, right? And then, of course, the thing that some of us sports fans, we fear most of all, is our hopes are coming up again for the upcoming football season and the Lions. Like, that's all I got to say about that. The Lions, they let us down, crushed hopes again and again. But this fear stuff, they're saying, experts are saying that there are at least two things that happen when we have the kind of fear that just kind of scares you silly, like that immediate fear that you get. Not that fear that you have time to think about, but the fear that hits you in the moment. And the first one is fight. And the second one is, you guys know it, fight and flight. Yeah, there's fight and flight. So we're going to fight. We're going to either fight or we're going to flight. We're either going to fight or we're going to run. But the experts just said there's a third category that we've been missing that I think most of us have probably experienced or seen this before too. It's this one. A friend of mine that was on staff at a church that I worked at here in the Walker area for 12 years, I was leaving the church one evening and I was shutting all the lights off. The place was pitch black and I noticed a car just pulled into the driveway of the church, and then I noticed whose car it was. It was our custodian, and so he was coming and I just waited by the light switch. You ever do like this? You hide out and scare somebody. I'm waiting by the light switch, and when he walked into the church, he reached around for the light switch, and I didn't say anything. I just grabbed his arm, and he went, bleh, and he fell like on the ground. I'm like, I killed him. You know, like, the dude is dead. This is, And so I'm looking at his name's Greg as well. And I'm like, Greg. And he's like, you are messed up, man. That is some kind of messed up. But here's the other category. So we fight, we flight, or we freeze. Like, boom, we're paralyzed. And I see that all the time. All the time. It's in relationships. And I'm not just talking about scaring somebody. I mean, it's in relationships where the relationship is just at that point, like, man, this is almost intolerable. It's unbearable. It's unbearable. And one person's like, I'm out. I'm done talking. I'm not even going to try. I'm running. I'm in flight mode. Another one is busy just pointing the finger, just digging in and going, it's your fault, and throwing daggers, trying to hurt the other person, just full-on fight mode. And then there are those that just kind of go paralyzed, like, I'm stuck. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to think about the future. I don't know how to take my next step. I am frozen here. And when we start thinking about the future, I think for a lot of us, we can start going, man, this future thing, I don't know. I can get a little fearful for it. And I'm not talking about North Korea or whatever that might be. I'm just like the future. It's full of these unknowns. And that's the truth, that the future is full of the unknowns. And so how do we step into the unknown? How do we take our next step into the unknown? How do we do that? And I'm going to suggest this morning that there is a way of walking that's a better way of walking than many of us, because of the way we've been raised, the culture that we've been raised in, teaches us how to walk. Because many of us, we want to throw our past behind us. The past is the past. Let's just walk into the future. And I'm going to suggest this morning, do my best to build a case, that the best way to walk into the future is to back into the future. The best way to walk into the future is to walk backwards, that we back into the future. And the scripture passage that I want us to just kind of lock in on comes out of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, that says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right, there you go, there's a voice behind you, to the right, now to the left. Whether you turn to the left or to the right, there's a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The right way to walk is to actually back into your future. I think it's fascinating when we think about the scripture talking about it in this way, that we are to back into the future. In fact, it's saying whether you turn to the right or left, that is going to be directed by the direction you can't see. You can see all this. You can see what was, but you can't see what's coming. You can see your yesterday. You just can't see your tomorrow. And so whether you're turning to the left or the right, just back into the future with your eyes fully locked on what was. And I think that probably seems a little odd to us, or maybe a whole lot odd to a whole bunch of us here. That why would we walk that direction? And we would often project and maybe could start thinking that, man, if I'm backing into the future, if you don't know what's coming, what if you just kind of step into a deep hole? You got to start thinking and start looking toward your future. But for the Jewish people, for the Hebrew people, those that were God's people, this would have been normal for them. This would have been something that they would have picked up on right away. That they would have went, of course, this is the way you look toward yesterday, and this is the way you walk into tomorrow. You back up that way. For the Jewish people, it was always that way of living. In fact, this thing called the Gutenberg Press that some of us are familiar with, maybe every single one of us here, it had the ability to mass produce these things that we call a Bible. And prior to that, it wasn't mass production of the Bible. What they had is a scribe that would carefully write, and they would check. The accuracy is amazing, and it's a whole nother sermon for another time. But they would have these scrolls that they would keep, and there would be in a synagogue a Torah closet or the first five books of the Bible, the law, there would be a closet for it that they would put the Bible into. They would pull those scrolls out, dance them around the community as the community of faith would get fired up that we are about. This is amazing that the God of the universe has given us his word. And they would get on their feet and begin to praise his name in anticipation from hearing the word of God. Now, prior to the Gutenberg press, there was a gathering at the synagogue to hear from the word. But the way the stories of God got out, it was through oral tradition. It was through the telling of the story. It's sitting around a campfire and recounting again and again with your children. Let me tell you about God. He's amazing. He's the one that spoke and everything that is came into existence. He breathed life into a mound of dirt. And a man stood up and he took a rib from the man and created the woman. This is the God who creates all things. And this God of ours, he's the one that when we were in slavery for 400 years, like, Dad, you're not 400 years old. I know, but I belong to a greater family of people. We are his people. And the generations before who were in slavery for 400 years, he heard our cries. And he came down and he did something about it. He split the Red Sea with his power. We walked forth on dry ground. They told the stories of him raining down manna, food from heaven, and feeding them, and water coming out of the rocks so that they could drink when they were thirsty, taking the waters of Marah and saying, these are bitter waters. I'll make them sweet for you so that you have sustenance for your life. This is the God that single-handedly protected us in the wilderness, promised us the land that is now ours as an inheritance. They would tell the stories of yesterday. This is the way they looked. They would talk about what was and what God actually did, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Looking to yesterday, they would talk about who he was. I know your works, said David. I know your works, man. I know your works full well. What direction is David facing when he's saying these words that we read from Psalm 139, except he's facing this direction? I've seen that when I go up to the heavens, when life is really amazing, you were there for me. You showed up. And when I found myself at the far side of the sea, remember, for them it was a flat world. When David wrote this, the understanding was the far side of the sea, it was an unexplored area. And if they had this image, it was like a waterfall. The man, when I was at the far side of the sea, what's he saying? It's like, man, when I was going over the edge, when I was losing it, when I just didn't even know what to think anymore. You were there. You showed up. He's looking at yesterday when he's talking these words. When I found myself in utter darkness, like I don't know where to take my next step. I can't see to take my next step. And we would think about it this direction, right? I can't see to take my next step. That's not the way David's thinking. He's saying, I can't see to take my next step. It's dark. And I don't know if any of the rest of you do this. I do this weird thing in dark. When it gets dark out, or when I'm in a house and I don't have the light switches. We had the power go out recently. Any of you guys lose power up here? We lost a ton of us, lost it down in the Hudsonville area. But when it's pitch black, don't know why, but I close my eyes. Like that helps? I'm not sure. And so I'm going around like this, just feeling for stuff. But man, when my eyes are shut, when I can't see what's coming next, David's saying, I've got my eyes looking this way and you showed up. It's not dark back there to you. It's not unknown over here to you. You've got my right hand, and you're saying, whenever you turn to the right or you go to the left, just keep coming. You're doing well. Trust me. I'm faithful. Faithfulness. This whole thing about faithfulness is a pretty cool thing. In fact, the word faithful in the Hebrew is emunah. Say that with me. Emunah. And the word emunah, it's a word that's not just about what we often have reduced Christianity down to for so many. And it's not this. It's that I know that there's a God. I have faith that there's a God. That's not emunah. That's something else. That's something that even the scripture even talks about it. So you believe there's a God. Big deal. Big deal. I'm glad you believe that. But even the demons believe that. They know. So it's got to be more than I just know that there's a God. Emunah means your faith and faithfulness are linked together. And when we talk about your faithfulness, we're not talking about yours as much as we're talking about his. That when I look to yesterday and I see who you've been when I'm up in the heavens and I'm feeling like, man, this thing is going well. When I'm feeling like I'm going over the edge and I'm losing it. When I feel like I'm in utter darkness. And he went so far as to even say, even when I'm in the depths, even when I made my bed, when I messed up big time and deserved to be abandoned, you're amazing. You showed up for me in that. And I see it here, 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 here. Emunah, your faithfulness has been so amazing that if you tell me to take a step to the right, I'm going right because I trust you. If you say to the left, I'm going to the left because I trust you. This is the way to walk. I'm going to back into my future with my eyes locked on yesterday because I know you have never, ever failed me. Now, this word emunah has a root word in the Hebrew called aman. Say aman with me. Aman. And aman, wait for this one, is the word that we use. Again, emunah is faithfulness. Aman is the word, this is so cool, that we use when we say amen. That's where we get the word amen from. It's linked to God's faithfulness. I pray this knowing, man, I've prayed and you've listened to me so many times. You've never failed me. You never let me down. You've always been faithful to me. And so I will say, amen, I trust. Aman, I trust your faithfulness. I entrust this prayer to you. Now, along with that, this is pretty amazing to me. The word yesterday in the Hebrew, the word yesterday in the Hebrew means before me. The root word, if you dig down, when they said yesterday, they knew the root word on that was that which is before me. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? This is proof. These Hebrew people walk differently. That when I think about yesterday, it's the stuff that's before me, not the stuff that's behind me. It's not that the past is over here. No, the past is right here. I'm looking at it with my eyes. And when they thought about the word tomorrow, the root word for the word tomorrow is behind me. It's that which is behind me. I can't see it, but I can see this. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know about yesterday. I don't know what's to come, but I know who's been faithful to me all the way through. I don't know exactly what I'm going to face, but I do know what direction I'm going to face and which way I'm going to walk. I'm going to face this direction. I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to name them one by one. I'm going to sing God's praises. I'm going to talk about the times where life was going well and he was there. I'm going to talk about the times when I felt I was losing it, man, and he showed up and he sustained me. I'm going to talk about the times when, man, I didn't know where to go next. I didn't know where we're going to go next. And God, man, he grabbed my hand. He led me through it. He was there for me. And even when I messed up my biggest, and I thought, man, is it over, man? Will anybody forgive me for this? And he showed up and said, I will. I will. I've got you. I love you. You're mine. He showed up even when I was at my very worst. This is the way to walk. Walk you in it. So, Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, David was saying at one point in his life, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my groaning? I'm crying out to you by night, and it's like you're not listening to me. And in the morning, I'm not silent, and yet I don't feel your response. He was in a bad place in life. He was in that darkness. He was in that place where he's going, man, I don't know where to go. And I keep crying out to you, where are you? And you fast forward his story and know that God showed up there to the point where David could say eventually in his life, now I know who you are. I've been walking the right direction for long enough. Perhaps in Psalm 22, he had his eyes this direction going, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this storm. I don't know how I'm going to plow through this. God, where are you? And it's like God saying, David, turn around. He goes, ah, you've never left me. You've always been with me. Where could I ever go from your presence? You're always the God who's with. And now I know. I know. It says, walk now. Best way is to back into the future. I want to invite us to live with that fashion. That we would be the kind of people that live out emunah. And when we say aman or amen at the end of a prayer, we're saying the reason I pray, the reason I lift this up, the reason I trust, it's not me. It's not because of me, it's because of you. Because through the generations, we have way more stories than the people that were telling the stories before, because we belong to the same group. We got all the stories that they have of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the stories of God's faithfulness through his son, Jesus Christ, coming to that cross for us and dying for us and coming up out of that grave for us to claim us as his own, to say that neither life nor death, there's no principality, there's no power, there's nothing that was or is, there's nothing high enough, low enough, there is nothing long enough that is ever going to separate me from you. Ever. Trust me. And we say amen. Emunah. I will have a faith that I know you are, and I'm going to have a faith that is based on your faithfulness. The move from fear to faithfulness. This fear comes from looking the wrong direction. His faithfulness allows us to walk backwards with confidence. Let's pray together. Father, this week, maybe just one thing for us is to just turn around. If there is one thing we could do this week, it's turn around. And maybe like David in Psalm 22, you're grabbing us by the shoulders and gently saying, just look. Look at where I've been faithful to you. Remember who I am. Remember that I am the God who forgives you for my own sake because I love you. Remember that I am the God who is faithful and never leaves you and never forsakes you. I have you. And out of that place, we just hear your voice. There you go. Walk backwards, one step at a time. Trust in me. In your name we pray. Amen.